two extended airlock tubes, then touched and sealed. Nari Kuritz led his squad into the Lady Macbeth's life support capsules, executing the penetration and securement procedures with textbook precision. Syrinx watched through Enone's sensor blisters as the crew toroid's clamshell hangar doors hinged apart. Oxley piloted their small, boxy, multifunction service vehicle out into space, yellow-orange chemical flames propelling it round towards Lady Macbeth's open cargo hatch. Joshua Calvert was marched into the bridge by two marines in dark carbetanium armor suits. He grinned round affably at the members of Syrinx's crew, with an even wider display of teeth when his eyes found her. She shifted uncomfortably under the handsome young man's attention. This was not how the interception was supposed to be going. "We've been had," Reuben told her abruptly. Syrinx flicked a glance at her lover. He was sitting behind his console, an expression of glum resignation settling on his features. He combed his fingers back through his beret of curly white hair. "What do you mean?" she asked. "Oh, just look at him, Syrinx. Does that look like a man facing a 40-year sentence for smuggling?" "We were on the Lady Macbeth for the whole flight. She never rendezvoused with anybody." Reuben simply raised an ironic eyebrow. She returned her attention to the tall captain. She was annoyed at the way his gaze seemed to be fastened on her breasts. "Captain Syrinx," he said warmly, "I must congratulate you and your ship. That was a superb piece of flying, really quite superb. Jesus, you scared the crap out of some of my crew the way you jumped at us like that. We thought you were a pair of Blackhawks." He stuck his hand out. "It's a pleasure to meet a captain who is so obviously talented, and I hope you don't take offence, but an extremely attractive captain as well." "Yes, we've definitely been had." Syrinx ignored the offered hand. "Captain Calvert, we have reason to suspect you are involved with importing proscribed technology into this star system. I am therefore cautioning you that your ship will be searched under the powers invested in me by the Confederation Assembly. Any refusal to permit our search is a violation of Confederation Space Regulatory Code, which permits lawful officers full access to all systems and records once a request has been made by said officers. I am now making that request. Do you understand?" "Well, gosh, yes," Joshua said earnestly. A note of doubt crept in. "I hate to ask, but are you quite sure you've got the right ship?" "Perfectly sure," Syrinx said icily. "Ah, well, of course, I'll cooperate in any way I can. I think you Navy people do a great job. It's always reassuring for us commercial vessels to know we can always rely on you to maintain interstellar order." "Please don't spoil the effect now, son," Reuben said wearily. "You've been doing so well." "I'm just a citizen happy to oblige," Joshua said. "A citizen who owns a ship that has an antimatter drive?" Syrinx said sharply. Joshua's gaze refocused on the front of her pale blue ship tunic. "I didn't design it. That's the way it was built. Actually, it was built by the Ferring Astronautics Company in Earth's O'Neill Halo. I understand Earth is the greatest Edenist ally in the Confederation. That's what my didactic history courses say, anyway." "We have a common viewpoint," Syrinx said reluctantly. Anything else would have sounded like an admission of guilt. "Couldn't you have taken the drive out?" Reuben asked. Joshua managed an appropriately concerned expression. "I wish I could afford to, but there was a lot of damage when my father saved those Edenists from the pirates. The refit took all the money I had." "Saved which Edenists?" Cacus blurted. "Idiot," Syrinx and Reuben told him together. The life support engineer spread his hands helplessly. "It was an aid convoy to Angade," Joshua said. "There was a bacteriological plague there several years ago. My father joined the relief effort, of course. What are commercial needs compared to saving human life? They were taking viral processing equipment to the planet to manufacture an antidote. Unfortunately, they were attacked by Blackhawks who wanted to steal the cargo. That kind of equipment is expensive. Jesus, I mean, some people are really low, you know. There was a fight, and one of the escort Voidhawks was wounded. The Black Hawks were closing in for the kill, but my father waited until the crew got out. He jumped with a Black Hawk's distortion field locked on. It was the only chance they had. They were badly damaged, but the old Lady Mac, she got them out alive.